On Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Coming up, Bridge International Academies is attempting to offer low-cost private schooling for some of the poorest families in the world.
We believe that we can be educating at least 10 million pupils around the world who come from families who live on less than $2 a day, and giving them an education that's truly globally competitive.
The company says it currently provides impoverished children in Kenya with a world-class education for roughly $5 a month. We'll take a closer look in 25 minutes.
What happens to the newspapers, Christmas tree lights, cell phones, and even the cars we discard for recycling? Why is so much of the stuff we get rid of shipped overseas? On the next Fresh Air, we talk with journalist Adam Minter, whose parents owned a junkyard, about the global billion-dollar trash trade. Minter is the author of Junkyard Planet. Join us.
Fresh Air is today at noon. In headlines this morning, the president of the Philippines says the death toll from a powerful typhoon might be closer to 2,500. Downed communication lines make it impossible to get up-to-date information. The UN's Drug Control Agency says Afghanistan's opium production has surged this year to record levels. The agency says a recent harvest led to a staggering 6,000 tons of opium. And a Michigan state senator plans to host a candlelight vigil tonight at the state capitol to honor the lives of victims of human trafficking. Support for NPR comes from Citrix with GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses worldwide in face-to-face online meetings. More at GoToMeeting.com. From eSurance with an app that lets users manage their car insurance policies, update payment information, and handle claims at eSurance.com. And MD Anderson Cancer Center with one goal to end cancer. Learn more at MakingCancerHistory.com.
Democratic and Republican.
We're going to go out and we will create more and better jobs. And we will be in a great state again.
The city council is considering whether to put a measure on the ballot.
I'm very concerned about our budget.
Governor Rick
Snyder. It's Wednesday, the morning we talk with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry about state politics. Jack, yesterday a Michigan board approved leasing Detroit's Belle Isle Park to the state. Under the agreement, the city will maintain ownership of the park and the state will lease it for 30 years. The plan will save Detroit $6 million annually in maintenance costs. But the city council and mayor-elect Mike Duggan are against the plan. Why?
Well, it's all a matter of control, and this has been an issue in Detroit for some time, the whole idea of losing control of any of what the city's so-called jewels to the state. But in fact, it's becoming a state park. The state has pledged to put millions of dollars in to fix it up, and not only will the city save money, it'll free up 22 policemen for duty elsewhere in the city, which is probably a net positive.
In other news, Jack, Governor Rick Snyder has moved lawsuits challenging some of his administration's most controversial policies to a new panel of judges on the State Court of Appeals. Why is this significant?
Well, as it has always stood, at least since the 1970s, the Ingham County Circuit Court, the county that includes Lansing, decided these cases. They tend to be fairly liberal judges. Republicans objected. But now it's going to be a procedure where ultimately the Supreme Court will determine the panel of judges that will hear claims, lawsuits against the state. And because the Supreme Court has a heavily Republican majority, Democrats charged probably with some reason that the process will sort of be rigged. It's interesting that the Detroit News, the state's major conservative Republican newspaper, which has steadily supported Snyder, urged him to veto this bill. They said this is not a good idea, that if eventually someday the worm will turn and Democrats will be back in power and Republicans may not like what they do. But the governor signed it anyway, and to some people, this sort of further diminishes Governor Snyder's claim to be a moderate.
Jack, Friday marks the first day of Michigan's wolf hunt. This is the first time there's been a hunt since the gray wolf was taken off the federal endangered species list. Now, we heard news that State Senator Tom Casperson, who led a campaign for a wolf hunt, used a fictional story to highlight the need for a hunt. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there apparently were a lot of fictional stories, and MLive is doing a series on this, stemmed from one farmer who apparently is a very neglectful farmer in the Upper Peninsula, left dead cattle rotting in barns and fields for a long time, which of course drew wolves. Their stories were told about wolves staring at people through their windows and not going away, which apparently was all false, and about wolves being shot outside a daycare center. In fact, there's no record of a human being attacked by a wolf. On the other hand, it is clear that a number of dogs and cows and other animals have been eaten by wolves. There are recently as 1989. There are only three known wolves in the entire Upper Peninsula. Now that's about 643. But whether any of them should be hunted is terribly controversial. People are rallying against this, signing petitions. They're allowed to shoot up to 43 wolves. It'll be a question to see how this goes on and what will happen next year.
And finally, Jack, Flint swore in its newly elected city council this week. The council includes two ex-convicts, including one who served 19 years in prison for murder. Tell us about these new council members, and what does this say about what Flint voters want?
Well, this is more a journalism scandal in a lot of ways. I'm going to talk about that at length at 1:30 today. Basically, the Flint Journal did not report that one of the candidates who defeated an incumbent had done 19 years in prison for murder. Another one was convicted of felonious assault, and two women who had been on council had bankruptcies. It doesn't say a whole lot about the voters because most of them didn't know about this. It's sort of a damning indictment against the newspapers. The sad thing, I mean, it's another sort of blow for Flint. Flint, of course, is one of those cities under an emergency manager. They're scrambling. They're trying to get the state to let control revert to the locally elected government, and it's kind of harder to make a case for that when you've got two felons on the city council. So nobody looks good in all of this. And again, but I would say it's more a journalism failure than a failure of the people of Flint.
All right, Jack, as always, thanks a lot.
Have a great day.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's political analyst.
The owner of the National Football League's Miami Dolphins was meant to meet with disgruntled player Jonathan Martin today. That meeting has now been postponed at the league's request as it investigates Martin's allegation that he was harassed by a teammate. Our commentator Frank DeFord says football has taken another blow to the head.
Not surprisingly, in the explosive revelations about the Miami Dolphins team turmoil, most attention has been paid to the fact that in the midst of a locker room,